All right. Good evening, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is David, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, David.
For those who care to, let's open the meeting with a moment of silence to do with as you wish, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome on the first floor of this house. Please do not go upstairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask those present to please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. I'll now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open, big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we're discussing step 10, and I'm going to turn the meeting over to Graham.
Hi, everyone. I'm Graham. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Graham.
Welcome. There's some seats in here if you guys want to come in. So we're going to, like David said, we're going to look at step 10 tonight. So over the last 9 or 10 weeks, I don't know how long it's been, but anyway, we've gone through the steps 1 through 9, and really what we're looking at doing now is a sort of, some people call them the maintenance steps, you know, but we'll get into more of that later. But basically, this is going to talk about the program in miniature. David and I started this meeting up a few months ago in his house, and the reason we did it was because we wanted to try to replicate what we did with guys when we sponsor them, when we meet them in Starbucks and take them through the AA book, take them through the steps, and we really felt it was a need to focus in on that in a meeting format as well. We're not experts on this book, Alcoholics Anonymous, we're not gurus, we're not setting ourselves up to be that. We're just sharing our experience, strength, and hope, and the hope that it might be of help to other people. So anyway, we're going to kick off on page 84 tonight, and we're just going to start off with the sentence that begins, "This thought brings us to step 10. So I'll just read that paragraph. "This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commenced this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for a lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code." So, step 10 says we continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And this is really starting to drill down on this idea of living one day at a time. And that's a concept that was completely alien to me before I came to AA. And for some time after coming to AA, and sometimes now, this idea that I can live in a 24-hour compartment has been bizarre at times. Because what I didn't realise when I came to AA was that I was really always living with one foot in the past, and I would be regretting things that I had done, and I would have an exaggerated sense of guilt about the way I treated people, my parents, my sisters, the love of my life, the loves of my life, whatever, always an exaggerated sense of guilt about the past. Just love to ruminate on that. And then, of course, my favourite thing to think about really is resentment. I love to think about how people have wronged me. And again, these are things that I perceive took place in the past. They may not actually have taken place, but I think they did. And I like to think about those things and smooth them and just embellish them a little bit each time. And feel angry. So that's one place I am. And the other place I am is I'm in the future. And I'm racked with fear. I'm afraid of running into whoever because of what I did last week or last month or last year. Or I'm afraid that certain sordid little details about things I did in the past will come out to my parents' attention or the college's attention or whatever it is. And I'm terrified of that. So I'm worrying about things that haven't actually happened. And that's really, I didn't know that, but that's where I spent my whole life, was up in my mind thinking about the past and thinking about the future. And meanwhile, my body's here, but I'm certainly not present for my life. And life continues, whether I'm drunk or sober, to go past at an ever-increasing clip. So I think in step 10, having cleaned up the past, is trying to maintain that sense where I'm living one day at a time. And trying not to get bogged down in the past or the future. Trying not to get bogged down in resentment or fear. So, it says we continue to take personal inventory. My experience with that is, I'll just give you an example from today, and it's kind of pathetic. Come on in, guys, there's plenty of seats here. So, poor Graham is getting a brand new car. I know, you all feel sorry for me. I'm getting a brand new car, and it's in the showroom right now, the one that I'm getting. And so, they told me today I was getting it. It's my company's giving it to me. So they told me I'm getting it, so I want it. So now I'm all excited. Yeah, I'm going to get something. And it's just feeding the part of me that should be starved. The people that likes to show off. The part of me that likes to show off to people and have people think of me a certain way. So I call the dealership, and the guy doesn't bother to return my call. So now I'm mad. And then I eventually get to speak to him, and he's like, well, we didn't know you wanted it today. And I'm like, what do you mean? So I managed to conduct myself reasonably well on the phone and get off the phone, and then he said he'll call me back. And so I'm looking at my watch. This is at work. So that's like 2 o'clock. By 4 o'clock, I've decided I'm going to call that place up, bitch that guy out on the phone, then talk to his manager, give him a dressing down, and then complain about all of them. Try and get them in as much trouble as possible, because they're not doing what I want them to do. And see, I like doing that on the phone because I don't have to deal with them face to face. So I feel powerful in my anger. And then listen to what happened. And this is Alcoholics Anonymous, and this is step 10. I'm in this anger, I'm sitting in my car, making my plan how I'm going to destroy these fools. And then it comes in, and I actually said it out loud, you shouldn't call that guy. Don't call that guy. And I'm there on my own, but I'm talking. Graham, don't call that guy. And so what I do is I go to my phone and I call a couple of guys in AA, a couple of close-mouthed friends who know what I'm like. And I call them up. I didn't get to speak to either of them but right away, but I left a voicemail. Listen, I'm about to have a temper tantrum. I'm not going to do anything. Call me back. And within a few minutes, I was on the phone with one of them. And I just laid it out like I laid it out to you. And then I get to see how ridiculous I am. You know, like these problems of luxury. I mean, really, are you kidding me? What a baby. You know, all this good stuff's happening and I'm like, I don't agree with this, this isn't right. I'm so selfish. So I was able then, you know, to call the guy back and leave a very nice civil voicemail message on his machine saying, let's set it up for later this week. So now when I go into that showroom, I'm not going to be like this. Where's that guy? Where's that guy? No, there he is. And maybe even have, you know, have to make amends to the guy and make amends to the manager. So it's that pause. It's that pause that for some reason, I don't get it all the time, but I got it today. And I'm glad that I got it today. And sometimes it doesn't happen though, and I screw up, and I have to. This idea is that I'm going to continue this way of life. And it talks about entering the world of the spirit. The world of the spirit isn't what I thought it would be. I thought the world of the spirit would involve white robes, maybe actually togas, a lot of togas, and maybe some laurels on my head, just walking around, you know, with some light emanating from me, healing people. I don't know. You know, I don't know what I thought it was. I'm not right in the head sometimes. The world of the spirit. And really my understanding of the world of the spirit is just a very, very simple thing. It's just a very simple thing, and it's based on these simple actions that we can all understand. You know, I don't really need to believe. I don't really need to think too much about it. I just need to take these actions on a daily basis. And then it talks about growing and understanding and effectiveness. And that's certainly something that's taken a long time. I was talking to David the other day, and I waited. I used to think I wasted a lot of time in AA. I don't think it was wasted, but I spent a lot of time in AA waiting for it to happen. Just waiting for it to happen. Now I'm going to be happy. Now my life's going to go the way it's supposed to go. Now I'll feel the way I'm supposed to feel. Now I'll act the way I'm supposed to act. I've been waiting a long time for that, done the steps and didn't feel that it happened, so done the steps again, different sponsor and, you know, all this stuff. And I think what I was doing was I was trying to shape how I would be. It was me that was trying to do it. And what I've understood is that what happened to me 15 years ago, curled up in a ball on the floor, covered in urine and vomit, crying like a big baby. Because I got drunk again, and I screwed it all up again, and I humiliated myself again. It happened right at that moment. And what happened was the desire, I haven't never had a serious desire to drink since that point, and I'd never been to an AA meeting, and I'd never taken a step. Something happened to me then, and I think it's been a process of recognizing it. It's right here. Everything's all right now, and this is about coming into the moment, I think, and understanding that. And this it talks about this effectiveness and continuing to watch for these things. I love this because it doesn't say if selfishness, dishonesty and resentment and fear crop up. It says when they crop up. News flash. You know, I'm living with alcoholism and these are the symptoms. And they're going to come at times. It's, in my case, they come pretty regularly. And the great thing is that now I can recognize it for what it is. And I don't need to get sucked away by it. You know, and end up drinking or end up the lunatic again, you know. And these things have continued to be a big part of my life to a greater or lesser extent. And then it gives me a very simple little plan what to do when these things happen. When I find myself in selfishness. Today I find myself in resentment and anger. What do I do? There it is again. Ask God. It couldn't be that simple. God, please save me from being angry. Don't call that guy. And then calls up some people in AA and start talking to them about what's really going on behind the facade. And that really seems to take the pain out of it and the power out of it. And the other thing is this idea that I'm going to screw up. I would love to sit here and tell you, I'm such an egomaniac. I would love to sit here and tell you that I'm actually perfect. And that since I've come to AA, I've never had a bad day sober. I've never lied. I've never cheated. I've never betrayed anyone. I've never stolen anything. Just being good old Graham. But that's not what's happened to me. Really, when I stopped drinking, the only thing that happened was I wasn't drinking. I was exactly the same person as I was when I drank. And that wasn't a nice guy most of the time. Pretended to be nice, but the fact I didn't have any friends is an indication of that other people could see that I was full of it. So this idea is very important for me, that I am going to screw up. I'm going to screw up. I had the sponsor say to me one time, just beside himself with my selfishness going on and on and on about me and how I feel and all this stuff that's happening. And he just said, Graham, stop. Let's just get one thing straight. You're a really, really screwed up guy. And the sooner you accept that, the happier you're going to be in AA. And I'm like, what's this guy talking about? And the longer I'm sober, the more true that seems to be. But because I'm screwed up, and because I mess up on a regular basis, there's a way now that I can make that right before it gets out of hand and builds up and it's crazy town again. There's a way that I can hit the reset button and stop it. And it really tells me what the key is to this. So in spite of my being flawed, and in spite of my being of less than sterling character much of the time, it says that I can turn my thoughts to someone I can help. And that's really the key. My sponsor Lance used to tell me, the only help you're going to get is by helping other people. And I'm like, what's that guy talking about? Let's do the steps and fix me. So I'm in AA looking for a warm fuzzy. I'm in AA looking to feel good. I'm doing the steps so I feel good. That's what this is about, right? It's about being spiritual, man. Yeah. No, that hasn't worked for me. I don't think that's what it's about at all. I've had extended periods of time in AA when I felt bad, when I felt angry, afraid, resentful, and so forth. Extended periods of time. But that doesn't mean that I can't be helpful to other people. And I mean, people love to talk about it in AA. That movie came out recently. Bill Wilson, apparently, was ladies' man. And you know what I'll do to ladies' man? I'll sit and I'll look at ladies' man and say, ugh, ladies' man. You suck. That guy sucks. And I'll tell David, look at that guy, he sucks. And if it's not ladies' man, it's whatever you're doing that I think you shouldn't be doing. And I'll judge you and put you down and condemn you. You're a piece of you-know-what. And you're beneath me. And you know what? That guy helped more people than I could ever dream of helping in my lifetime. But I'll focus on what I consider to be his flaw. And that's what I want to talk about. And I'll ignore all the other stuff. And is that not true of all of us? It's certainly true of me. There's some good bits about me. But there's some other bits that are not so nice. And that seems to be the reality. So I think step 10, there's a lot of acceptance in there. You know, accepting myself as I am. And that's been a very painful process of accepting myself as I am, rather than how my brain thinks I should be.
Yeah, when we were looking through this, there's only three or four paragraphs in this book that deal with step 10. And then as you look at the individual paragraphs, there's very few wasted words in here. And what I'm about to say is not intended to be an AA history thing or anything like that, but it's the way I imagine this thing to be. Before they wrote the steps out, there was about a three-year period in there where the first 100 were working this six-step program, right, borrowed from the Oxford groups, admitting complete defeat and doing a moral inventory and restitution and absolute reliance on God. And so these guys, that's what they were working with, and I can almost imagine these people 2 or 3 years sober working their six-step program, and my God, I'm still cheating on my wife. I'm still padding the expense account. I just lied to that guy for no good reason, you know. Perhaps we should continue to take personal inventory. Maybe we ought to codify that, you know. So, but as the you know, and that justifies with my experience as well. 2 weeks before I picked up my 3-year chip in Alcoholics Anonymous, I was standing assault charges for punching out my sponsor's son. I never stood assault charges when I was drinking. So there's something, you know, going on with me that needs more attention. So they very gently suggest that we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right new mistakes as we go along. Well, I find that a little abhorrent that you're just assuming that I'm going to make mistakes, because I'm I'm not willing to sign up for that. I really kind of wanted to plug, once I put the plug in the jug, once the drinking was aside, I really expected life to be smooth sailing after that, you know, that everything should just kind of come my way and be easy. That's what I want. I don't want much. I want it to be easy on me. So he says we're going to make new mistakes. He uses the word vigorously commenced, and this phrase, way of living, as we cleaned up the past. This suggestion that this is a way of life. We've entered the world of the Spirit, and to me, what I interpret that to mean is very simply that I've been willing to admit that I'm licked. I've been willing to throw in the towel. My life is unmanageable by me. I am powerless over alcohol. Something other than me is going to restore me to sanity. I'm going to try to rightly relate myself to this power greater than myself. Be willing to seek, and then go and write that inventory and confess that to, in my case, my sponsor. I've always done that. And again, bring these defects back to the Father and go out in the world and try to make restitution for the things. This is what I interpret to be entering the world of the Spirit, coming in there with willingness. If I'm willing to do the steps, I'm going to have an experience with honesty. I'm going to have an experience with courage. I'm going to have an experience with love. I'm going to have an experience with restitution. All these things, I don't even have to know what those words mean. But if I'm willing to do these actions, I'm going to have that experience. So it's very interesting, you know, our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. He warns me this is not an overnight matter. He says specifically it should continue for my lifetime. And really what was pointed out to me was that you continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Well, where did we run into those? Step 4, right? When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. 6 and 7, right? We discuss them immediately. Step 5, make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. Steps 8 and 9. So, in just a couple of sentences there, he's basically telling me, you deployed steps 4 through 9, David, to clean up your past, and you've done that to the best of your ability. Now, we're going to use those exact same tools on your present. So we're going to continue to do steps 4 through 9 on our present. I like make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. Then we resolutely, with a definite purpose, an unshakable purpose, turn our thoughts to someone that we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. So I'm going to back up a little bit. When it says our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness, well, if I'm continuing to take inventory and I'm continuing to confess and I'm continuing to go out and try to make these things right, I'm gonna grow in understanding. You know, I'm gonna learn that this sexual misconduct is not just a natural urge; it's really my attempt to gain self-esteem. You know, that was a revelation to me. This willing to cut corners in business or not tell a truth or maybe tell a little lie. Those are all things that are tied into my own fear of financial insecurity. You know, if you threaten my financial security, if you back me in that corner right now and scare me, I will lie to you. You know, I'm not going to tell you I'm over that. Because if I'm frightened, I will deploy the tools that I know how to survive. And if I got to tell a lie, so I start to see these things, I start to understand these things for what they are. You know, for my own fear, my own resentment, my own, scared to be alone, scared of people, all these irreconcilable sorts of qualities that I possess. It's great. You know, I'm scared to death of being broke, and I'm scared to death of hard work. And I got to make it in the world without chemicals. It's abhorrent to me. So I grow in understanding, and then if I'm willing to practice these things like Graham was talking about, if I'm willing to try to help you, if I'm willing to turn my thoughts to you for a moment, just a moment, and whenever I do that, it's always impressive to me if I just consider you for a moment, what your life is like, where you come from, what you were describing in the meeting last night that you were struggling with. If I just turn my thoughts there for a very short period of time, my head just fills up with, well, I could go offer a word of encouragement. I could go share some of my experience. But I went through that same thing, you know, 2 years ago. I could go talk to that guy about that. And so this is practicing love. This is practicing tolerance. This is practicing consideration. And if I'm willing to do that, the more that I do that, more effective I get at it, right? So it's really, it's just stupidly simple. But again, the complicated piece is my willingness to do it, to actually do it, to see the words, to see the instructions. They're very simple. Now let's get on with it. Love and tolerance of others is our code.
Right. Okay, we're just going to continue then. And we have ceased fighting. That's on page 84 as well. It's the right down at the bottom now. And we've ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally. And we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude towards liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We're not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We've not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Wow. These are the 10-step promises. They read the 9-step promises in the meetings because they talk about money. And alcoholics like that. I know I like that. My favourite word, spend, and I hate the word budget. Anyway, so this idea of not fighting anything or anyone is a theme that really runs through. You know, the 4th step talked a lot about not arguing and not retaliating with people, you know, and again in the amends it says, don't start arguing with the guy. So it's really this idea that I'm not fighting people anymore or anything. And I was a guy that had all these resentments which made me angry, feel anger at a lot of different situations, whether it was politics or people in my family or English people or whatever it was. There's a lot of anger there in me towards them, a lot of fight. And if you brought that subject up, let's go. I love to debate. You know, I was in the debating society at university and I basically had to leave because I got drunk and at a Christmas party, but I won't go into that right now. So I'm a guy that loves to argue and I love to win arguments. I get a kick out of it. It makes me feel powerful. And I like to do it in front of a bunch of people so I can sort of humiliate someone, stick it to them. Very, very sarcastic, you know. It's all done in good fun, of course. I don't like it when I'm the object of it. That really upsets me. But I quite happily watch someone else getting it or dish it out myself. So it talks about not doing that anymore, about not fighting anything or anyone. And if I just take a few deep breaths and think about what that means, to cease fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. And that is huge. It's bringing it back to alcohol. And this isn't about drinking, but it is about drinking. You know, if I drink again, what use is the program? Because I'm drunk. So it brings it right back to alcohol. And the thing I love about Alcoholics Anonymous is I don't believe I ever said I'm never going to drink again. I don't believe I ever said I'm swearing off the booze. I just started going to AA. And I started to get it into me from the guys in AA. I'm not going to take the first drink today, no matter what will happen. And it talks about sanity will have returned. For a long time, I thought that meant I would be good. And I would be able to do everything that I always wanted to do. And I'd be able to control myself. And I'd just basically be wonderful. But I understand it now as the sanity it's talking about is sanity regarding me taking the first drink of alcohol. And that has absolutely happened for me and countless other people. And that's that was the big surprise. This isn't a situation where I'm sitting here after not drinking for 15 years thinking, oh my God, this meeting's a drag. I wish I could have a beer tonight. You know? Wish I could go and get loaded tonight. Now, there was some temptation there at the start of my sobriety, but that hasn't been there for a long, long time. And if it comes, I know what to do. And any time it has come, I've jumped back from it. So now what happens? Having taken the steps and being in AA and taking these simple actions of Alcoholics Anonymous, going to meetings, getting a sponsor, doing the steps, joining a home group, participating in the home group, saying some simple prayers, just doing those simple things consistently over time. The thought of drink comes in to the genius, the big brain. The thought of drink comes in. In the past, I would always drink. I was powerless over alcohol. I wanted to drink because it made me feel better. It relieved me of alcoholism. And since I've done these simple actions in Alcoholics Anonymous, If that thought has ever passed through, as it has from time to time, my reaction is fear, and it's like, oh my God, what's that all about? And all that having drinking thoughts does is it convinces me that I have alcoholism. Because if you look at what drink did to my life, it destroyed my life. It destroyed my relationships with my parents and my sisters, and on and on and on. And that I would actually consider taking a drink of alcohol is absolutely insane. There's something wrong with my noggin that I would consider that. So when I get those thoughts, I'm like, you know what? Thank you for that thought. Because it just reminds me that there's something wrong with me and I need to take care of it. And it talks about reacting sanely and normally. And it's not something that I'm deliberately doing. And that's the remarkable thing about my experience in Alcoholics Anonymous. This stuff just happens. I don't decide to be more honest. I just gradually, over time, mostly, have been more honest. And I didn't decide I wasn't going to want to drink anymore. It just gradually happened. And this is, I didn't decide I was going to stop beating up women. It just happened. So I think that's the point. I can't make myself better. If I could do it, I certainly wouldn't be sitting here with you lot. So it talks about it just comes. And it says it's a miracle. We're not fighting booze. We're not avoiding temptation. First year of sobriety, I played in an Irish folk band. And guess where we played? And everybody else was getting wasted. The other people in the band were getting wasted. And I was standing there playing my guitar and singing, having a great time. I did not want to drink alcohol. This is not about, for me, this is not about shutting myself away. Sometimes, we've said it before, AA is like a siege mentality. It's like us and them. They'll say, oh, those earth people. What are you talking about? I don't think that's what they're, you know, that's not my experience. I think what I'm able to do is live in the world. And I don't have to avoid alcohol. I'm not going hanging out in bars at the weekend. You know, but if there's something on in a bar, I'll go. Why would I not go? I've been set free today, provided that I keep in fit spiritual condition. The problem's been removed. Now again, fit spiritual condition for me means I must be feeling good all the time. That means I'm in fit spiritual condition. And I must be morally good all the time. And if I'm not, then I'm not in fit spiritual condition and I'm doomed. And gradually over time, because believe it or not, I find it difficult to maintain that for more than a day or two, being good. And gradually over time, what I've found has happened to me is my understanding of spiritual condition and keeping in fit spiritual condition has changed. And, you know, I don't think it's really necessarily related to how I feel. I don't think it's necessarily related to what I'm thinking about. It seems to be absolutely related to what I'm doing. And this is a program of action. This is a program of action. I have to do things. What is it I have to do to stay in fit spiritual condition? I've already said it, I'll say it again. I have to go to meetings regularly. I have to join a home group and participate. I have to get sponsored and work the 12 steps. I have to say some simple prayers. And I have to try and get out of myself by helping other people. That's how I keep in fit spiritual condition. And how I'm feeling and what I'm thinking and what my circumstances are really don't seem to be of any consequence. I've done that when times are good. I love it when times are good. It's easy to be spiritual when everything's going my way. It's easy to be spiritual when there's 10 big ones in the bank account. Yeah, baby. Thanks God. I've been a good boy in AA and now you're showering me with money. Thank you. See, I knew it was my time. That's easy to be real spiritual then. Looking around AA feeling sorry for people. Oh, there's poor people, they just don't get it. Me and God were tight. Yeah. It's not so easy to be spiritual when your kid's lying dying in the hospital or when your other kid's getting beaten up by some lunatics. It's not so easy to be spiritual when I'm not feeling good. But you know what? When those things are happening, you know what I'm doing? I'm doing the same things as I'm doing when those things are not happening. That's the point. It's just that I'm consistently, constantly, practicing these simple spiritual actions that everybody in this room can understand. There's so much mystery around AA. Let's sweep the mystery away. This is very, very, very simple. God is very simple. It's not complicated. It's based on taking simple actions today. And when I do that, my life over time has completely transformed. And I don't want to drink. And I don't need to drink. Because when I feel uncomfortable, I can take care of it the AA way. I don't have to take care of it by getting drunk. And I really get the chance to grow up. My whole life, I just played the part of the wounded teenager. You know, permanently like 13 years old, with my middle finger up. Defiant, angry, and just a mean little bugger. And what's happened is, by coming here and taking these simple actions over time, imperfectly, I've changed. And a lot of the time I act like a grown up now. A lot of the time. And that's something I wasn't able to carry off before.
Yeah, just by way of a kind of a silly example, but it was this week that it happened. I was riding in the car with three other AAs, and we were having a good time. We were just going out doing some stuff, and looking back on it, my desire was to make everybody in the car laugh. So I said something that I thought was funny, and then someone else in the car said, "That's very crass, David." Now, in the moment of choice, I could have said, "You know, you're right. I apologize if I offended you." That's not what happened. Because I like fighting anyone or anything on any point at any time. It's my natural mechanism. So I just defended myself. I just naturally defended myself and kind of embarrassed them for criticizing me. And so I got to live with that for about 12 hours. And and it just became... It's an interesting thing. When we do these efforts of cleaning up and making restitution and going out and admitting our wrongs, and you know, it really is, for me, it's a practice, because I'm willing to prove you wrong. That's my first defense, is a good offense. Immediately institute counter accusations. That's helpful as well. Mm-hmm. Me? What about you, man? You know? And you know, so as we practice doing that, and the sidewalk gets a little bit cleaned up, you get a little something like that, and it's offensive, you know. So there it is on the sidewalk, and I can't walk around it. I got to clean it up. And so the very simple action was, the next time that I ran into this person, I said, "You know, you're absolutely right. That was crass, and I failed to consider you, and I apologize." "Oh, don't worry about it," you know. But that had to happen. You know, it has to happen. Because if I don't practice coming to you being wrong and knowing why I was wrong, you know, then I'm not going to get any good at it, you know. I've improved a lot in these areas in my life, but I'm certainly not perfect. And my first reaction is defensive and counteroffensive. And I know what it's like to fight alcohol. I know what it's like to make deals, you know, with alcohol. I'm not going to drink for the rest of this week. And then on Friday, I'm just going to drink Budweiser. That's it. Just Budweiser and less than 12. Only if I go to work. If I go to work every day, then I can drink 12 beers on Friday, you know. And then only to have Wednesday come and say, "Well, you know, I've done pretty good so far. So really, why don't we just get 6? You know, and I start again. Substituting the chemicals, substituting the days of the weeks, the times, the set of conditions. If I could just achieve these things, then it would be okay for me to drink. And I just live that way my whole life. This sort of carrot and stick. Any sort of reward. If I could just accomplish this, if I could check this box, then it'll be okay for me to drink. And I'm not going to do these heinous things. Certainly won't drive, you know. And, So just fighting alcohol. And I really, that's what I expected when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, to see a room full of people who were fighting alcohol. You know, just holding on. "Don't go, Graham. Don't do it. Be strong," you know. And I came in and you guys were just laughing and having a good time and not taking yourselves very seriously. And you weren't taking me very seriously. I didn't like that at all. because I'm a big deal, you know. I got real problems, man. I'm scared of people. I'm scared to be alone. I can't even describe it. So fighting alcohol, I lived my whole life like that. And it says that after we've done these things, that sanity will have returned. And I absolutely agree. For me, the sanity is today. I don't know about tomorrow, but on this day, right now, I'm clear about that one. What that one Budweiser will do to me. I know exactly what that's going to look like. I may get the time frame wrong. You know, it may not happen in hours. It may happen in a couple of days or weeks. Or more, but in a very short period of time, I'm going to be doing the exact same things I was doing. I'm going to be in the exact same places that I always was. You know, that's what one beer costs me. Mm-hmm. And it costed me over and over and over again. So the sanity is that I today see that clearly, that I'm not willing to pay that price. The insanity is, well, if I just have a couple. You know, if I just stay home and drink on Friday night, you know, if I just get rid of the liquor, I can see where shooting dope is problematic. We'll just take that off the table completely. You know, I mean, all these things, all these deals that I make, that's insane. That's nuts. And then, and like has been pointed out, it's like none of that stuff was a decision. I really expected sobriety to be a continuous white knuckle experience. Just an endurance test of the utmost magnitude. Just white knuckles on the steering wheel, wishing to God I could get out the door and get a drink, man, because that's what sobriety's always been like. And it was only your living example that gave me a little bit of hope, because I heard your stories, you know, and I couldn't deny that you'd been where I'd been, you'd done what I'd done, and you'd felt how I'd felt, and you really weren't living that way anymore. So, you know, you just leave me to do the math. If I do what they did, maybe I'll get what they got, you know? And that's when I start to feel hopeful, and that's when I start to be willing to do this stuff. And somewhere along the way, I absolutely have been delivered to this place of neutrality with regard to alcohol. I'm not frightened of alcohol. I'm neither cocky nor afraid. I'm not gargling with whiskey and spitting it out and going, ha-ha, see? See how strong I am? You know? I'm not spending all day in a bar being cocky about it, you know? But I'm not frightened. I don't avoid these things either, you know? I would no more pick up it today. Again, I don't know about tomorrow, but I would no more pick up a drink than I would go stick my hand in a box of cobra snakes, you know? Because obviously sticking your hand in a box of cobra snakes would be nutty. I'm not qualified to handle them, you know? But people do. People can, you know? And I'm not like, oh, gee, I wish I could handle snakes like that guy, you know? Look at him just twirling it over his head like that. That's amazing, you know? Making it sit up like that and everything. You know, I just, it's, I'm not qualified. And the same way with alcohol. It's just, I don't even need another reason. I just need another result. If I have one, I am well on my way, believe me. And that's the restoration of sanity. And it's very, it's just, it's 23 years since I've had a drink. And I can tell you that if I spent, you know, that time white knuckle, just wishing God I could get out the door and get a drink. I believe I'd have drank already or just ended the whole ride, you know, because that's what I brought here. I was 6 months sober and suicidal because I did not want to drink anymore. And I didn't know how to live anymore either. I don't want to live without a drink. How am I going to have any fun? Fun! Oh, God. So, yeah, and if you want to have, I'm going to indulge my mischievousness here, but if you want to have a good time, go to an open discussion meeting when they call for a topic. Ask, how do you guys keep in a fit spiritual condition? And just listen. And see if anybody mentions the steps. Because I really believe that's all he's saying here, is that is the action, as Graham pointed out, we continue to watch for selfishness, fear, and resentment. When these crop up, we discuss them with somebody. We ask God to remove them. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts and attention to someone we might help. That's it. We keep practicing these things.
Okay, I'm going to finish up this, the last paragraph we're going to read tonight. It's on page 85. And it's in the middle there. It is easy to let up. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do. For alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. And, you know, I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but here's the deal as I see it, and I could be completely wrong. The most commonly taken path in Alcoholics Anonymous is to leave Alcoholics Anonymous. That's what happens. I've been coming to AA for 15 years. He's been coming for a lot longer than me. There's people in here that are sober a lot longer than both of us. And that is what I've seen. And that's what our common experience is. So it's nice to sit in here. Glad that you're all here. But my business is to make sure that I'm one of the ones that stays here. And it's very, very important. Nobody in this room, I would argue, would think they're going to get drunk again. There's probably nobody that's thinking, oh, I'm going to get drunk again. But the reality is that lots and lots and lots of us will leave Alcoholics Anonymous, and I would argue a fair proportion of those people will indeed drink again. And some of them will stagger on for another 40 years, and some of them will die a few days after taking the drink. We just don't know. And that's not to frighten anybody, you know, that doesn't frighten me. It's like, yeah, whatever. Seriously, you can't frighten me. You can't frighten an alcoholic. That's not what AA is about. I'm not trying to frighten people, but that's the reality. So how it was put to me was, how can you make sure, Graham, that you're one of the people that does stay here and who is able to live a full, whole, productive life in society and function and live life on life's terms without drinking alcohol, without taking pills, without smoking weed, without whatever, without any mood or mind-altering substances, right through till the deathbed. You know, how are you going to make sure that you're that guy? And that's been very interesting, my views on that when I was a couple of years sober and my views on that now. And I have to tell you, the last 3 years have been the most challenging time for me in sobriety, I think. And what's happened is, things have got really, really good. I got married. I've got 2 small children. Got a wonderful job. Got a wonderful wife. And I've got some hobbies now that I like doing. I like going canoeing. I like doing all that sort of stuff. It's wonderful. And what has happened is I've been getting distracted from Alcoholics Anonymous. And I see this happening to other people all the time. I never stopped coming to meetings, but it's very, very difficult when these other demands are on me to prioritize and to stay clear about the fact that my life depends upon my participation in Alcoholics Anonymous. My life is built upon that. That's the table. That's the foundation that my life's built upon. And what I hear all the time is, I didn't get sober just to hang out in AA. You know, I didn't get sober just to hang out in AA either, but I need to keep coming to AA. I believe this is where whatever God is, this is where I have my experience of God. It's in these rooms with you guys. How appalling is that? So this is it, baby. Here we are. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're here now. So, you know, it's very simple. But it's very human to sit back and just sort of wind it down. I got what I wanted. I got the job. I got the kids. I got the marriage. Or I saved the marriage. I saved the job. So what do I want to go to AA anymore for? Those people are crazy. Those people in AA are so sick. They're so selfish. A favourite one is, I'm going to church now. I don't need to go to AA. I'm going to church. Found God in church. Bye, AA. Okay, thanks, buddy. Yeah, or maybe therapy. I've got a therapist now. My therapist says I don't need AA. Bye, AA. Thanks, buddy. Okay, what about a sense of fairness? What happened to that? When I came to AA, do you know what happened? A bunch of guys that were really, really busy like me gave me their time. And it was very inconvenient for them to do that, but they gave me their time. And what they did in that process is they saved my life. And now my life's good. Bye! Nice knowing you. And it's funny, but it's not funny, because that's what happens to people like me. And every stage in that thing, I don't think it's happening to me. I don't think it's going to happen to me. And that's this illness. I'm not cured of alcoholism. And, you know, some people drink again, some people don't. But the bottom line is, I need to be very clear about what it is that's wrong with me and about what I need to do to keep this illness in remission, if you like. And there's some simple things that I need to do. And it says that I should use my willpower to try and do that. I think probably the thing that's the biggest help for me is to be around other people who like being sober in AA. Believe it or not, there's a bunch of people in AA that are not that happy they're here. I know you'll find that hard to believe. So if I'm with other people that are positive and enthusiastic and who seem to be doing this the best they can imperfectly, then that seems to rub off on me. And when I'm having one of those difficult times, those guys can help me and vice versa. And we seem to move forward together. So it's very important that I realise that I'm not cured. And it's all contingent. That means it depends upon me maintaining my spiritual condition. And I already said, keeping in fit spiritual condition. How do I do that? How do I do that? Do I have to be good? Do I have to be perfect? I don't think so, because I'm neither good nor perfect. I think what I have to do is continue to take the same actions that they told me I needed to take the first time I ever came to AA. They weren't lying to me. That was it. There's no secret. That's it. And the problem is that I have imagined it should be some other way. So I'm very dissatisfied with it. I want to change it. So I think this is very simple. And that's why this group's called the Simple Actions Group. Because I think that's what this whole thing is based upon. Is me consistently taking these simple actions. And there's definitely been times when I've really struggled to do that consistently. But I'm here today.
Yeah, me too. I like this paragraph because I get my will back. I get to do stuff I want to do. I'll share this quickly because it and again, not here to teach, but this was pointed out to me, and it changed the way that I read this thing, this book. Basically, what was pointed out to me is that Bill, the way that he writes, he always tells me what the problem is, he tells me what the solution is, and he always tells me a practical program of action to bring about the solution. The book's organized that way, the chapters are organized that way, this paragraph is organized that way. It's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action. I'm heading for trouble. There's a statement of the problem. I'm not cured. More problem. The solution is the daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of spiritual condition. So both of those things are often quoted at meetings. But what I never hear quoted is the actual practical program of action that he gives us in two sentences. Every day we must carry the vision of God's will and how can I best serve thee? Thy will not mine be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. Well, I'm pretty far away from constant thought of how can I serve thee? Thy will not mine be done. But this points me to the practice once again. This is my meditation. And I'll tell you, there's two pieces of time that I want to have back in my life. One is I'd like to have, at the end of my life, I'd like to have added back all the time I've spent waiting for Windows to reboot. And I would like to have the hours that I've spent in meetings talking about complacency. This resting on spiritual laurels. And believe me, there's people have lots of cool stuff to say about that. And I'm one of them, you know, and I just listen to me. I'll talk about it. But it was I was sitting in a typical meeting on complacency, and this woman made this point-blank declaration that complacency, for her, is just another form of dishonesty about the first step. And my sponsor is fond of telling me it's a step one problem, David. So I either believe that I'm powerless over alcohol and my life is unmanageable by me, I'm not qualified to run my life, or I'm pretending there's something else going on, you know? And Graham told my story there because I leaked away from AA. I became successful. So there's nothing, the only thing worse for my sobriety than calamity has been prosperity for me. Because when I start doing good, I start thinking pretty highly of myself. And when I start thinking highly of myself, I don't think so highly of you and what you're doing. And I just leak away. And the reason I hammer that point is because I didn't decide that. I didn't decide, you know what? I'm going to not drink and not go to meetings for about 8 years. And I think I'm going to ruin the marriage and alienate my children and maybe the business will fail, you know? But that's what happened. That's what happened to me, sober. So again, the simple things, the simple touchdowns of making a commitment to a home group, showing up early, welcoming the newcomer. You know, are we out of time?
No, yeah. No, we're not.
I'm going to say this because I don't intend to eulogize Mutt Perry, but he was buried today, and what I want to say about Mutt is I don't have any idea if that man ever worked a step. I don't know if he sponsored a million guys. I have no idea. But I will tell you, when I walked into Alcoholics Anonymous, walked in through those doors, I was hostile. I did not want what you had to offer. I did not want to believe in God. I did not, like Graham shared, I didn't know if I wanted to stop drinking. But that man practiced love and tolerance with me in the form of making me feel welcome in the room. He just simply welcomed me and made me feel comfortable. And he became one of those guys that I was glad to see, you know? We've all got them, right? You know, it's like, oh, good. You know, Brad's here. Everything's fine. You know, I can relax a little bit. Judy's here. It's all good. You know, look at Jill smiling. I feel better now. You know, he was one of those guys to me. And so this idea of practicing love and tolerance, this seems to be our forum. We get to learn to do that here with each other. And then maybe, just maybe, it'll leak out into our lives, into our jobs, into our families. But you guys taught me how to do that. Through your example of patience and love and tolerance and kindness, not through an effort on my part. So, is that us? It's such a quick hour, man. Every time I sit down, I think, I got nothing to say, and then it's good. We're going to pass the seven tradition basket. Stating that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers, because you were wondering what our primary purpose was. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. Are there any announcements for the good of AA?
Okay, we've been going out after the meeting. Everybody's invited. We go to a place called Bella Pizza. It's on Collie. If you want to come, you're welcome. You don't even need to buy any food. Just come along and hang out with us. And the meeting after the meeting is sometimes better than the meeting itself. And on January the 14th, we are hosting a supper and a speaker. We've got a speaker coming in from Ocean City. And that is going to be January the 14th, which is a Monday evening. And the food is at 6 o'clock. And the speaker will be speaking from 7 to 8. Everybody's welcome to come along. If you want to bring a covered dish, it's a potluck. We'd be appreciative.
Feel free to take flyers back to your home groups. They're on the table by the coffee. Any other announcements? Anything else happening in AA? Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, please raise their hand. There's literature available on the coffee table. There's a meeting list, etc. out there. And then, not to embarrass anyone, but just by first name, is there anybody here in their first 30 days who'd like to recognize you?
I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Anna, welcome.
Welcome.
I'm Anna, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Anna, welcome.
Welcome.
Chris, an alcoholic.
Hi, Chris. Welcome.
Welcome. Hi,
Kylie, alcoholic. Hi, Kylie. Welcome.
Welcome.
Hi, Bob. Welcome.
Welcome.
I'm Garrett. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Garrett. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Brandy.
Hi, Brandy.
Hi, Brandy. Welcome, Brandy. Anybody else in the first 30 days? Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. Would anyone willing to be a sponsor please raise their hand? What else? The basket going around? Is it done? Anybody want to do a little soft shooting? We're going to thank all who participated. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged, as Graham mentioned, to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight. Going to Bella Pizza. I'm going back to bed. I'm not feeling very well. And could I have a volunteer to read the last two? Brad, will you read the last two paragraphs on page 164, please?
Yes, my name is Brad. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Brad.
The book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day when you are still sick.
Excuse me.
The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thanks, Brad.
Close my usual way.
But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory,